Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of the Morning Devotional. Today is Tuesday, October 25th, 2022. This is edition number 17 of season 6 of the Morning Devotional. We are now in chapter 17 as we continue this journey through the book of Exodus. Let's pray and then we'll consider this chapter briefly this morning. Let's pray. Father, as we look now at your word and as we consider these things that are here, we ask that they would be imprinted upon our minds and our hearts, our lives. We ask, Lord, that we would see your goodness and kindness. May you forgive us and may you cause us to walk in your ways. May you use your word to that end, we pray for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, in Exodus 16, we saw a number of issues. I'm not going to spend a lot of time repeating them, but we saw how God provided for the people through the bread from heaven and the manna, how he gave clear instructions about when to gather it, how much to gather. We noted the instructions regarding the Sabbath day, the Lord's day. Now we come to Exodus chapter 17. The people are thirsty, and of course, you guessed it, they once again grumble among themselves. They grumble to Moses. Again, that retired refrain, why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children, our livestock with thirst? And Moses cries out to the Lord, what shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said to Moses, pass on before the people, take in with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will indeed drink. Now, of course, here, Moses is given very clear instructions. He is to strike the rock from which then water would indeed flow. We know later that Moses doesn't heed this instruction. He is told to speak to the rock and he strikes it, and as a result, he is barred from the promised land. We'll get to that in due course and time if I decide to work all the way through the Pentateuch in these devotionals, but be that as it may, we note a few things from this opening section. We note that the Lord would be with Moses, that he would not abandon him to the people and to the murmuring and complaining of the people, but that he would deliver the people from their thirst. And so in verse 6, I will stand before you there on the rock. As one commentator puts it, a further example of the Lord's promise to Moses, I will be with you, that we saw in chapter 3. The Lord's presence presumably was manifested in the pillar of cloud, providing protection for Moses from the quarreling people of Israel, but also as a demonstration of God's power, producing fear and awe among the people. The trustworthiness of God's promise to provide for his people is dramatically demonstrated as Moses obeys God's command to strike the rock and the Lord provides water for his people. Now we know that this rock, according to the Apostle Paul, is in fact the second person of the triune God. It is Christ himself. And this rock that followed them around through the wilderness, according to Paul in 1 Corinthians 10, is the very rock that Moses is to strike. So he does that, and the people are then given water, provision. The other highlighted element of this chapter, just very briefly, is that Israel engages in war. In this case, they are battling the Amalekites. They came and fought with Israel. Moses said to Joshua, choose for us men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. So Joseph did as Moses told him, fought with Amalek, while Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up on the top of the hill. Now we know the story. When Moses' hands were lifted and raised, Israel prevailed. When his hands got tired and drooped and sank, Israel began to lose. And so they propped his arms up so that Israel would continue and to overcome their enemy. And indeed they did. Now, of course, this is just an example of the way God uses means to accomplish his purposes. He certainly didn't need Moses to raise his hands to wipe out the Amalekites. He could have done it himself. He chose to use means, and this is the means in which he chose to use, and he does that in our own lives as well. He uses means to sustain his church and to have them help them overcome the enemy. Now, how many times have we found ourselves in terrible situations, given over to sin of some nature, and then we look behind us and we realize that the reason we're in this situation and how we've been overcome by the evil one is because we have failed to use the means that God has granted to the church. What are those means? Well, the words, sacraments, and prayer. That is to say, we stop reading our Bible. We stop meditating upon the deep truths of the Word of God. We stop consuming, as it were, the bread of life that we noted in Exodus 16. We don't drink deeply from the well that comes from the rock, the very Word of God himself, itself. And when we fail to use those means, we are prey, we are suspect, we are open, we are susceptible to the efforts of the evil one to derail us. This is a warning for everyone, ministers of the gospel, elders in the church, deacons, congregants, whoever names the name of Christ. There is a real enemy out there, and he seeks to do battle against the church. And though we have the promise that the gates of hell will never prevail against the church, and that is, of course, a sign of the church militant and advancing, we also have the clear instructions of Scripture to meditate on the Scriptures day and night, hide it in our hearts, treasure it there, engage in a life of prayer, pray without ceasing, participate in the benefits of the sacraments of the Lord Jesus Christ, understand what they're there for and why we do them. And as we, by faith, participate in these means, we have victory and success over the enemy. Jesus, of course, used means in Matthew chapter 4 when he was confronted by Satan. He used the Word of God to combat the efforts of the evil one. Now, if Jesus does that, how much more should we, as weak creatures of dust? He was impeccable. We are not. And so we need these means. And so we see the means God employs to defeat the enemy here in Exodus 17, but I think I've demonstrated how God expects us to use the means he provides to accomplish or to overcome the efforts of the evil one. Imagine if Moses just decided not to bother. Who cares? I'm going to do what I want. I'm not going to bother raising my hands. I don't care. It doesn't matter. What difference does it make? Well, they would have lost. It makes a difference. And so we must employ the means that God has given. Well, I trust these times are helpful for you. If you have any comments or questions, follow-up remarks, feel free to contact me. The way to do that is there before you on the screen. And so until Wednesday, when we look at Exodus chapter 18, may the Lord guide you today. May you employ the means he's given to you. May you spend time in his word and prayer. May you look forward to the Lord's day and the corporate gathering of the people of God. God bless.